Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Sydney.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning. Now, according to the ATO and media reports, the system outage was caused by a failure in a three-part store serve storage area network made by Hewlett-Packard. How did this outage actually cause ATO's servers to go down?
Okay, so this storage area network is essentially where all of the ATO's active data is stored and made available on the network, and it's accessed all the time. I mean, this is the primary function of someone like the tax office, is the processing of large amounts of tax information. So it's got lots of redundancy and backup when it works, but essentially they're actively using that all the time. So if that system goes down, they've got no information to work with. My understanding is that it's a rare failure that Hewlett-Packard hasn't seen before, and that caused the storage area network to lose integrity. And as a consequence, if you don't have trustworthy data, you can't actually do anything.
It's been estimated some 1,000 terabytes of data have been erased during the server crash. Is it going to be possible to locate what's actually been lost?
The ATO is like most large businesses, banks, for example, where data integrity is everything. So you've got to make sure that everything that you have is actually accurate. So it's far more important for the ATO to make sure that what they do get back is accurate and complete, and that's a far greater priority than making sure that the restoration happens quickly. Now, it's not clear to me whether that petabyte figure, the 1,000 terabyte figure, is the total amount of data that they've stored, whether it's the amount that they're now questioning the integrity or if it's just the capacity of the system. Generally speaking, the older the data is, the more easily it's recovered because it's more likely to be on backup systems. Where I suspect they may get into trouble is the transactions that occurred immediately before the crash, where they may need to take other measures to find what's happened then, just in that immediate lead up.
Because as you say, quite rightly, as with banks, this is fairly delicate information when we're talking about the ones and zeros that actually controls people's finances, fairly delicate operation.
Well, that's exactly right, and they really do have to make sure that the information they have is correct rather than that it's up tomorrow, if you like.
Do we know how the ATO kind of compare globally in regards to, the information storage and ownership?
Okay, so generally speaking, the ATO is using best practice. They've got a system architecture and appropriate technology that is designed to do this job. They've gone to a competent external vendor that specializes in this sort of technology. Something's gone wrong with it. I mean, occasionally catastrophic errors can happen with these systems. Reading the reports that I've seen from various places, and there's an excellent article on The Conversation available if your listeners want to read some more from Robert Merkel at Monash. Even he's not clear on whether this is a hardware problem or a software problem or a configuration problem or a combination of all of these as to what's actually gone wrong. I would say that what I really do like about the ATO's response is that they came out quickly in public and said, we have a problem, we're working the solution, and really being transparent about the issues they're having. The census is a counterpoint there, where essentially panic took hold. So I think they've learnt that lesson, which is great to see. One of the things I'd really like to see in our tax system, though, is far greater open disclosure of all data related to a particular taxpayer. So, you know, as a taxpayer, unless I actually phone up and ask them specific questions, and they're quite happy to answer them, I can't go in through the tax office portal or through MyGov and see what is it that you know about me that would be helpful for me to be able to manage my tax affairs. Where is my account up to date? So where you see that is, you know, you fill in your tax return online and say, tax office says, well, we already know this. And it's like, okay, great. So you guys are talking about me behind my back. I find that quite troubling. And it seems to stem from a culture of using that data to play gotcha. In other words, it's data that they're collecting from third parties and putting in there, and sure it's actually there to help, but I feel like they're trying to play gotcha with me. It's like, will you fill in this part correctly, or are we going to fine you? I've had a bit of experience internationally with the Estonian e-government system, which is a quite different approach. Their entire e-government system is based on the notion of every citizen owns their own data. So the consequence is that if there's data about you in the government system, it's owned by you, so you automatically have access to it. You already have accountability built in from the ground up, which is a really interesting approach. It's difficult to implement here, partly because of our privacy culture, but mostly because we've got legacy systems built on legacy systems built on legacy systems that really support that kind of thinking.
Mm. Just perhaps as a final point, because that is rather an intriguing kind of idea, is there something of a balancing act with these government systems between transparency and security?
Well, this is always the issue, and I think and one of the things that I bang on about is the need for a very strongly asserted online identity by individuals. So if you can assert who you are online in a strong way, then it actually protects you against identity theft, and it allows you to take ownership of your own personal information and take ownership of the transactions about you. So that's an interesting debate, because it runs up against quite legitimate concerns about essentially Big Brother watching you, if you like. So we as a nation, as a society, perhaps need to have that conversation.
Mm. Well, Matt, thank you very much. Do appreciate joining us this morning, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
Oh, my pleasure.